Well, good morning, everyone. We want you to worship with us together. Holy is the Lord. Let's stand and worship together wherever you are. Sing to the Lord together today.
We stand and lift up our hands, for the joy of the Lord is our strength. We bow down.
welcome everyone watching today. We're thankful you're worshiping with us. Be a part of all that we're doing here today. Would you connect with us? Find the link on that to that online connection card. We'd love for you to complete it for us. If you're watching on our website, just follow the link for the connection card. On Facebook or YouTube, there is a link in the comments. It gives us great joy to pray for you each week. If we might do that, fill out the online prayer request card for us as well. We have waited for this day all week long. We're gathered in the name of the Lord together today. Worship with us. Open up the heavens.
We are off to a great start this morning, declaring the name of the Lord and lifting his name high. And we know that Scripture says that if he is lifted high, he'll draw all people to himself. So wherever you are, be sure to be lifting the name of Jesus high. And we know that as this service goes out and as it's shared and as the word is shared, more and more people are going to be able to encounter his holy name and be transformed by it. That's what we're going to be focusing on this morning, is the second part of the Lord's Prayer, Hallowed be your name. We're glad that you've joined us today, and we're gearing up for a great Sunday next week as we celebrate Mother's Day. And I just want to remind you, if you haven't had an opportunity to do so, be sure to video a brief greeting saying Happy Mother's Day to your mom, to encourage you to do that, and so that everybody might have a way of knowing who you're talking about. We encourage you to hold a picture of your mom or do something else creative so we know who to put with you as we share those videos next Sunday morning. You can email those to us at icampus@fbcpineville.net and try to get those in by Thursday afternoon so that we have plenty of time to edit those together and have them ready for Sunday morning. We're also grateful, church, for your faithfulness to continue in giving during this really crazy time when we're separated. In fact, last month we brought in more than our budget called for. And so, church, we are so grateful for that. We are thankful that the Lord is providing for ministry to continue here at First Baptist Church Pineville. And I just pray that the Lord will bless you for your continued faithfulness to His kingdom. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we continue to honor God's name and celebrate Him today. Our Heavenly Father, we are grateful for who You are. Lord, You are above and beyond anything that we know here on earth. You are more powerful and You are greater than the strongest of men. You can accomplish more than all of us together. And You can do what You do in a moment instead of in weeks, months, or years. And so, Lord, we are grateful that we have the opportunity to come and to worship today. Even though we are scattered in many, many different places, we're grateful that You are a God who's big enough to be in all those places. That Your Holy Spirit can abide in our homes just as it does here at 901 Main Street. Lord, we pray that as we worship You today and as we encounter Your Word, You would do a new work. God, that You would do a new work in our lives individually. You would do a new work in our families. And Lord, You would do a work in our church collectively. Lord, for the church is the people. It's not the building. And so, Lord, we're grateful that though the church campus may be closed for right now, the church isn't closed. Nothing can close the church of Jesus Christ. No government, no virus, nothing. Because the gates of hell will not prevail against the church of Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, today we lift Your name up high and we honor You and we exalt You and we ask for You to move among us in freedom for the purpose of transformation. We submit our lives to You now, listening to Your Spirit's voice. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our hope in life and in death is in Christ alone. Would you learn this new song with us together today? Christ, our hope in life and death.
What is our hope in life and death? Christ alone, Christ alone. What is our only confidence? That our souls to Him belong, who holds our days within His hand, what comes apart from His command, and what will keep us to the end, the love of Christ in which we stand. His grace and good.
known in our great Redeemer's blood, who holds our faith when fears arise, who stands above the stormy trial, who sends the waves that bring us nigh unto the shore, the rock of Christ. What shall we sing?
Christ, He lives, Christ, He lives,
and what reward will heaven bring? Everlasting life with Him, there we will rise to meet the Lord, then sin and death will be destroyed, and we will feast in endless joy.
In his book, The Power of Jesus' Name, which many of us studied through this earlier this year, Tony Evans tells the story of a little girl whose father came to her one day and encouraged her to open up a bank account to put her allowance that she was receiving into and then be able to spend out of that. So the little girl agreed. She opened up her account, and she was then given the ability to purchase things from her account online with her bank debit card. One day, though, the little girl came to her daddy crying, and when he asked her what was wrong, she said, "Daddy, the bank is going broke. You picked a bad bank." Well, the father considered what she was saying, and then he asked her, "Well, why do you think that the bank is going broke?" She said, "Because when I tried to buy another game online, it told me there were insufficient funds." That's when the father smiled and assured his daughter that the bank had plenty of money. In fact, the bank had enough money to pretty much buy anything she could ever ask or imagine. The problem was she hadn't deposited enough into her account so that she could then purchase what she wanted to get. During these times of uncertainty, when it comes to the spiritual account of your life, what's your bank balance saying? Is there insufficient joy? Is there insufficient peace? Is there insufficient hope? Insufficient power? Insufficient order? If anything is insufficient, it's not because the bank of heaven is broke. It's simply because you're not depositing the honor and the commitment that is required to access all that the Heavenly Father has in store for you. And today we're going to see how when we focus on the power of God's name, our account is filled and blessings are outpoured. Our text is once again the Lord's Prayer from Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 and following, but today it's just the next statement in the very first sentence of this prayer where Jesus begins, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." We focus today on just that second little phrase of the prayer, "Hallowed be your name." What does hallowed even mean? I mean, have you used that word in conversation today or last week or even ever? Have you ever said something was hallowed or wanted to hallow something except right in this particular prayer? Well, probably not. That's because hallowed is a rather archaic word. But it's interesting that even though I use a modern translation, the editors of this translation decided to keep that rather archaic word. In fact, most modern translations have carried over that old word simply because there is no other word in the English language that even comes close to capturing what the Greek word there means. You see, the Greek word means to honor, to sanctify, to set apart, and treat with the highest respect. We just don't have one word in English that does all of that. Some have suggested that maybe we say, "Holy be your name," or "revered" or "reverent be your name." But there's more to the Greek word than even those words. Besides, the idea of holy and reverent makes most of us think of someone going shh in a dark, dismal church with droning organ music playing while tired rituals are performed. For too many of us, that's what holy and reverent means, even though that's not even what those words mean. And it's certainly not what the word hallowed means. When Jesus taught us to pray, "Hallowed be your name," he wasn't thinking of cathedrals and shushing kids. In fact, he wasn't even thinking about quiet at all. Jesus was thinking about power. Power? Not shh, be holy, be reverent. No. I must admit, I've never considered this first petition of the model prayer in this way. But let me show you the power behind this petition. The word we translate "be hallowed" is a verb that in many ways can only have God as its subject and even its object. In the action of hallowing the name, that is a divine action, not a human action. I like how New Testament scholar Scott McKnight explains this. He says, the petition is a prayer that God will act in a way that glorifies himself. What Jesus has in mind is clear. He wants God to act, to bring in the kingdom in order to display God's rule. This is a petition for God to act. When we pray, "Hallowed be your name," we're not praying, "God, you are holy." No, instead we are praying, "God, make your name great. Make it revered. Make it holy. Make it admired. And release the full force of its power into the entire world." Folks, that's not quiet cathedral. That is the power of God on display. When we pray, "Hallowed be your name," we are praying for God's glorious name to be established and exalted above all other names. From the outset of this prayer, this statement adjusts the priorities of our prayer. Gone are our aspirations, our affections, our aches and pains, and right into the center of the prayerful eye of our prayer is God's name in God's fame. We pray to him. His name is raised first and foremost, not ours, not even someone else's. His name is first. Further, any sentimentalism or overuse of the name Father is avoided by this petition, "Hallowed be your name." This petition says something powerful. Scott McKnight says it this way, and I want you to be sure and get this. The petition is about priorities and a request for revival. The petition is about priorities and a request for revival. Have you ever thought of this petition that way? I sure haven't. In fact, to be quite honest, I've probably even said it with a yawn. But as I've studied this, I'm thinking I might should pray it with a yell. Because it is a petition that is asking God to move in a mighty, mighty way. When we lift this petition, we are praying for the power of God's name to be unleashed and for revival to come. When we pray, "Hallowed be your name," we're asking God to do the work. But we are submitting ourselves to Him and asking Him even to do the work through us. So therefore, I'd like to take our time today and talk about how we might go about hallowing God's name. For God's name to be hallowed, for instance, we must know that God is. Now, obviously, you'd never pray to a God in whom you did not believe. So we've got to start here. You must know that God is. Interestingly, the Bible nowhere attempts to prove God's existence. Never, anywhere. From the outset, it assumes He exists. In fact, God is the third word in the Hebrew Bible. In beginning, God. There's no explanation of what His birthday is. There's no talk about where He came from. He's just, boom, there. Within the first sentence, the first three words, we encounter God. How do we know He exists? How do we get the answers to those questions? The biblical writers, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, didn't see any need to tell us. Because you see, for them, where existence is self-evident, proving existence is pointless. They simply knew that God is. You know, for example, I don't need to take a DNA test to prove that my oldest son, Zachary, is my kid. You just have to look at him, and you know where he came from. In fact, this Christmas, we were watching some home videos, and pulled it out of a closet. It was a video of me when I was 10 years old. And you know what? I acted just like Zach. Even Zach said, "Daddy, you act just like me." It was scary. There's no need to prove where the origin of Zach is. It'd be pointless. And the existence of God is just as self-evident. Now, certainly, in these days, we've developed some wonderful methods of proving God's existence as a part of the field of Christian apologetics, and there are wonderful tools to be used in that. But the Bible assumes God is because it knows He is. That is where we must begin in prayer that hallows God's name. We must know that God is. But second, for God's name to be hallowed, we must know who God is. I recently had to call a service provider, and you know what a joy that was. After punching menu numbers and actually having to hang up and punch back through the menu numbers again, I was put on hold for a representative for a long time. Finally, a voice came on the other line. "Hello, this is Sam. I am here to help you." Now, I immediately thought, "Your name is not Sam. In fact, it's probably something I can't even pronounce, but I appreciate the effort." And for the rest of the call, dear Sam, or whatever his name was, helped me through my problem by reading through his script, answering questions, pushing buttons on his keyboard, and reminding me that the call might be recorded. Well, let me tell you what I wish those calls went like. I wish that when an issue developed with all of these other services, it worked a little bit like when we have trouble here with our computers at the church. When I sit down to my terminal in my office and there's a problem, I take out my cell phone and I call up Gil McKee. He runs the business that takes care of our computers. And when I call Gil, he answers himself and he says, "Hey, Stuart, what's up?" And I say, "Hey, here, I got a problem, Gil. Can you help me out?" And he says, "We're on it." And within 30 seconds, my problem is being addressed. I don't have to stay on hold and listen to how important my call is to him. I don't have to wait for pleasantries to go through. Because of our relationship, the job gets handled. That's the difference that relationship makes. And that's why we need to know who God is if we want to see his name truly hallowed. We don't want to call some helpline and talk to some stranger who doesn't even give us his real name. We want to talk to the God that we know. So that begs the question, who is God? What is his name? Well, Moses asked that question in Exodus chapter 3 at the burning bush. In Exodus 3, 13 and 14, we read, Moses said to God, "Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you.' And they ask me, 'What is his name?' Then what shall I tell them?" And God said to Moses, "I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you." The name of God revealed there in Exodus 3 is, in Hebrew, is God's personal name, Yahweh. It's four letters. And this name is so revered in Judaism that even though nothing in the Old Testament prohibits pronouncing the name, the warnings to not abuse the name and to be sure and honor the name in the Ten Commandments prevented the Jews from even pronouncing the name itself. That's because God's name is special. You may remember from high school English, William Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet, and Juliet says, "What's in a name?" because she couldn't understand what the problem was between the Montagues and the Capulets. And in that situation, you know what? There's nothing in a name. But when it comes to Hebrew thought, there was a whole lot to a name. Because the Hebrews felt that a name captured who a person was and their character. And God's name captures more than any other. God's name implies his title, his person, his power, his authority, his character, his reputation. In Exodus 34, Moses goes up on Mount Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments a second time. And while he's up there, he asks for God's name to be called out. And God passes by Moses and he proclaims his name to Moses. And this is how Exodus tells the story in Exodus 34. "The Lord came down in the cloud and stood there with Moses and proclaimed his name, 'The Lord,'" meaning Yahweh. "And he passed in front of Moses proclaiming, 'The Lord, the Lord,'" or Yahweh, "Yahweh, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion, and sin. Yet he does not leave the guilty unpunished. He punishes the children and their children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation." God proclaimed his name, Yahweh, and then used a string of 10 or more descriptions to try to capture who he was. And we know that this was just the tip of the iceberg of who God is. Because when we are encountered with that, it's a powerful moment. Moses, in fact, Exodus 34 verse 8 says that Moses bowed to the ground at once and worshiped God when he got a glimpse of who God is. There was so much more still to be learned by humanity as they went through the Old Testament. The Old Testament is filled with powerful names of God that reveal different aspects of his character. There's Elohim, the very first that we encounter in Genesis 1, which tells us that God is creator. There's Adonai, which is the word Lord. God is sufficient and therefore able to do anything that we need him to do. There's also El Elyon, God Most High. As possessor of the heavens and the earth, God can provide for all of our needs. There's El Shaddai, the Almighty God. We can accomplish nothing in our own strength, but everything is available to him who believes. There's El Roi, the God who sees me. From the powerful to the personal, we see the character traits revealed, and that's not all of it, because then there are all of those names that are attachments to God's personal name, Yahweh, or sometimes pronounced Jehovah. There's Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides for our every need. There's Jehovah Rophe, the God who heals us physically, emotionally, spiritually. There's Jehovah Nissi. The Lord is my banner of victory, helping me to combat sin, death, and hell. There is Jehovah Mikdash, the Lord who sanctifies you, allowing you to be used by him. There's Jehovah Shalom. The Lord is peace. He is the one who speaks peace in the difficult situations. There's Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Jehovah Rohi, the Lord is my shepherd. And there's one of my favorites, Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there. There's never a time in your life where you can be alone, because Jehovah Shammah, the Lord, is always there. And still, these are just some of the names of God revealed in the Old Testament to try to capture who he is. When we turn the pages to the New Testament, we encounter a new name, and that's the name Jesus Christ. And Jesus is the greatest name, and it is the clearest name, because it is the manifested name of God. To manifest something means that something else represents clearly and perfectly another thing. And Jesus manifested the name of God to a watching world. Jesus says so in the book of John, verses 17, verse 6, I have manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Jesus made God's name clear. Jesus was God's name with a face on it. And even Jesus, still throughout the New Testament, revealed so many more things about who he is. For instance, we find in the New Testament that Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He is the great high priest who's gone through the heavens, giving us access to the throne of God. We find out that he is Jesus, the one who saves his people, Lord, the one who is in control, and Christ, the long-awaited Messiah. We find that he is the bread of life. He is the light of the world. He's the gate for the sheep. He is the good shepherd. He is the resurrection and the life. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And ultimately, he's King of kings and Lord of lords. And even that isn't all the names that Jesus reveals to us that show us his character and what he's all about. When you bring all of this together, you find that God is like no other. Do you know who God is? If you want to know who God is, get to know Jesus. Because Jesus is God, incarnate in flesh. And he wants a personal relationship with you. Psalm 9, verse 10 says, those who know your name put their trust in you. You don't put your trust in a stranger. You put your trust in someone you know. You put your trust in a friend. God wants to be your friend as you hallow his name, and he has a personal relationship with you. Do you know who God is? I hope that you'll get to know him today. Because you see, there's still something else. Not only do we need to know that God is or know who God is, we also need to know how powerful God is if we want to hallow God's name. Have you ever watched one of those battery chargers while it's charging and you're kind of anxious to see it charge? Or maybe you're looking at your cell phone and it's got one bar of battery and a little bit more bar of battery and a little bit more. Well, when you hallow God's name in prayer, the battery charger on God's power goes, immediately it is supercharged. As God's name is lifted up, God's power is supercharged, and the battery is ready to do some business. Consider what James Montgomery Boyce exclaims. What more can we say of our God? Can we say that He is the way? Certainly, for He is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the source of life, the sustainer of life. He is life itself. He's the light of the world. He's the bread of life. He is the good shepherd, the great shepherd, the chief shepherd. He's the Lord of hosts. He's the King of kings. He is the faithful one. He is love. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, of Moses, David, Isaiah, Elizabeth, Anna, Simeon, and John the Baptist. He is the God of Peter, James, John, Timothy, Apollos, and Paul. And not only is He their God, He is my God. Think about that for a moment. I pray, and you pray, to the same God who Moses asked to part the Red Sea. I pray to the same God Paul and Silas prayed to that shook the bars of the prison open. I pray to the same God who granted David forgiveness. I pray to that God. That God had power, which means my God has power. Is that the God to whom you pray? Do you know how powerful He is? I mean, we sing, "All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall." We sing, "At your name, the oceans roar and tumble." We sing, "Jesus, your name is power. Jesus, your name will break every stronghold." We sing it, but do we believe it? When Moses encountered the name of God in Exodus 3 and 34, he fell to his feet. Fell on his face, rather. When Isaiah encountered the name of God in Isaiah 6, he too fell on his face and confessed his sins and the sins of his people. They were consumed by the power of God's presence. The power of God's name that was communicated there was palpable. In John 18, when Judas brings a band of people to arrest Jesus, Jesus asks, "So who are you looking for?" And they say, "Jesus of Nazareth." And Jesus replies, "I am He." And John says in verse 6 of chapter 18, when Jesus said, "I am He," they drew back and fell to the ground. Why these reactions? Because when you come under the powerful name of God, you can't help but be impacted radically. When did God become an elderly grandpa? When did Jesus become a wimp? When did the Holy Spirit become effeminate? God is powerful. Yes, His name is wonderful, but not like a daisy. His name is wonderful like a nuclear warhead. It is powerful. There is powerful power in the name of Jesus. Again, we sing, "He breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the prisoner free. Blessed be the name of the Lord." We sing, "Oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth." We sing, "There is strength in the name of the Lord." We sing, "You have no rival, you have no equal. Now and forever, God, you reign. Yours is the kingdom, yours is the glory, yours is the name above all names." What a powerful name it is. And we sing, "There's something about that name." And you know what that something is? Power. That's something that we sing about is powerful. We sing all of this, but do we believe it? God's name is powerful. How we need to pause at the beginning of our prayers and ponder the power of Almighty God. If we'll do that, it'll supercharge our prayers. God, hallowed be your name. When we believe and hallow God's name, we connect with His will. And of course, alignment with the will of God is the pathway to answered prayers by God. So, will you hallow His name? Each time that you pray, will you remember that God is? Will you remember who God is? And will you remember how powerful God is? Will you remember that you pray to the same God that the people of the Bible prayed to? Will you remember all of those things we declare in worship, and will you believe them and practice them as you pray? And will you know that God wants to do the powerful in your life just as He's done in other people's lives who you've read about or heard about? Your spiritual bank account will be overflowing if you will begin your prayers by truly hallowing His name, lifting Him up and saying, God, You've got the power. God, make Your name great. May we pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we are grateful for the power of Your name, and we pray that You would take Your name and You would speak it out, that You would increase it. And Lord, I pray that even right now, Your name is going into hundreds of homes, into 1,000 people's lives. And that God, right now, Your Holy Spirit is speaking to them, and You're helping them to know, first, whether they're truly a follower of Yours or not. And God, I pray that by the power of Your Holy Spirit, You would convict them of their need to trust You as their Lord and Savior. And God, that if they've never done that, that right now, they would pray a simple prayer where they ask You to come into their lives. Lord, help them to pray something like this. Lord Jesus, I know that I need You. On my own, I am powerless, and I need to be powerful. And so, Heavenly Father, I confess my sins to You, and I turn my life over to You. Be my Savior and Lord. Save me today, and take over my life. Lord, I pray that wherever someone is praying that prayer right now, that You would encourage them as they do so. Lord, give them a moment of inspiration to help them to know that You're right there with them and that You're bringing transformation in their life. God, I pray that others of us who are believers, and we know that we're saved, but God, we would admit that a lot of times our prayer life is wimpy. And so, Lord, I pray that we would allow our prayer life to be supercharged simply by focusing on who You are. God, we pray that Your fount of blessing would come into our homes, would come into our lives, would come into our church, that we would see this petition answered and revival come. Lord, make Your name great, for Yours is the name that is above every name. And we pray that every knee would bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and declare that You are the Lord. Thank You, Lord, for hearing us and being with us today. Continue to speak to us now as our prayer in Jesus' name. If you've been watching this message and you've made some sort of decision, maybe right now while I was praying, you prayed that prayer, asking the Lord to come into your life and save you, I'd encourage you to fill out the decision form that's being placed there in the comments and is available on our website. Complete that out so that we can make contact with you this week. It's been so encouraging to us as we've received those who have trusted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, those who've rededicated their lives to the Lord, those who have offered even prayer requests, asking God to do a new thing in their life. We want to join you in seeing God do awesome things in your life. So help us know about what He's doing in your life. And even if you want somebody to call you and talk to you about how you can trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, maybe you have some questions, fill out that form, and we'll be in contact with you this week to help you to grow closer to the Lord very soon. Lord, we're so grateful that You've joined us. We're grateful that God is with us. And so now, as we conclude our service, would You sing this song of praise and worship with us, asking God to come and bring His blessing to us.
Come Thou Fount, sing with us.
Come Thou Fount of every blessing, to my heart to sing Thy grace. Songs of heaven's grace, teach me so that
Thank you for joining us in worship today. Have a great week. We love you. We can't wait to see you again. Worship the Lord all week long.